Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. I just want to, again, encourage you to go out and visit our sponsors and supporters. I also want to encourage you to get out if you're in the city of New Bern. Get out and vote. Please make sure you get out and vote. And I think there's also some going on in Carteret County. But if you're there, you have the right to vote, and you also have the responsibility to vote.
In which election, Bob?
Well, this is a runoff.
In which election?
Mayor and Ward.
Thank you.
Four.
Of New Bern. Of Council.
Oh, no, just go out and vote. And if you're
no matter what election it is, just go vote.
Just go. And if you're denied access, okay, then you're not in that precinct. Okay, my name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Glenn Fink.
Well, welcome, everybody. So we're going to go off to the standard introduction, is it, Pat?
The Fannie Willis update?
The Fannie Willis update.
All right. Last week, I did a Fannie Willis update where I said the federal government had subpoenaed her for a trip to the Bahamas. And I speculated, or I questioned, why we didn't know why they subpoenaed her. So today, I read an article that said that the article from last week is what is called a pre-bunking article, and meaning that once we find out why she really went to the Bahamas, it will be debunked. So the one last week was an attempt to smooth the sting of the debunking. So the article today said that what she did in the Bahamas is she went to a prosecutor's training course. But the article wondered why this training course was not named on the website's, the course provider's website. Yeah, the sponsor. It wasn't listed. This article also pointed out that she used campaign funds to pay for it and wondered why, if it was a legitimate prosecutor's training course, why she didn't use county funds. She also took her investigator with her. They had a picture of him, and the article pointed out that he looks just like Nathan Wade. So I guess she has a type. So the article today criticized the pre-bunking article for not telling us, because they claimed they had gotten a copy of the subpoena, but they didn't say what had been subpoenaed. So this article doesn't have a copy of the subpoena, but when we find out, eventually we will, what it is they subpoenaed, what it is they're looking into about this trip to the Bahamas. So I'm keeping an eye on Fannie. I don't want her to get away with anything.
Now, apparently, in the movie or the actor's industry, any publicity is good publicity. This is not the case.
No,
here.
Not when the federal government's looking. That's like Big Brother's eye. That's like the eye of Sauron.
Well, it's just so gratifying to see someone who went after Trump for trumped up charges, unquote. For her to get her just desserts. It's just like, was it Jack Smith that they're looking at him now?
And Brennan's been referred for criminal charges.
And what's the other one? Letitia James, the one up in New York?
Yeah, the mortgage fraud.
The repeat offender in mortgage fraud, yes.
Yeah, Mary.
Serial mortgage fraud.
Yeah, Mary asked me if I had seen the article about all of her mortgage frauds. She did it on every mortgage. Every single one. And she's had plenty because she buys investment properties, which she claims are all her primary residence.
Somebody better pre-bunk and debunk that.
I think it's too late to pre-bunk it.
I'm going to come back to that a minute because the list is amazing. 1983, she posed as her father's wife because as a young single woman, she probably would not have been able to get a mortgage, so she just said that she was his wife. In 2020, she purchased property in Norfolk, claiming it would be her primary or secondary residence. And then she rented it out. And then in 2021, that was the five-unit apartment building in Brooklyn that she claimed was a four-unit apartment building.
To get a better rate.
And those were all her primary residents.
And in 2023, there was another house in Norfolk that she claimed was her primary residence, even though she lived in Brooklyn. So this is a pattern. This is a pattern.
I'll tell you what, she had significant leverage going on there with all those real estate purchases.
No one is above the law, Letitia.
A little scary.
No, if you or I did that, would we get the same treatment?
Of course.
Well, Letitia prosecuted people for mortgage fraud. So, I mean, she's a giant hypocrite, besides being a fraudster.
Okay.
And speaking about, we're talking about Trump, you know, Trump-related people who went after him. Wasn't it, didn't you hear, Pat, that that he has filed a suit against the Department of Justice for $240 million for the effort that they made against him? Was because of the documents? Was it the document case? Could you
elaborate on that? And the Mar-a-Lago raid.
The Mar-a-Lago
raid.
That was stretch.
I haven't seen any article that elucidates what his claims are.
Yeah.
You know, if it's pain and suffering for having your wife's...
It was probably interfering with his effort to run for the presidency, and then, of course, the cost and everything. So, anyway.
But in that vein, now the current accusations is that he has been using lawfare to go after people, when in fact Biden's attorney general defined the word lawfare.
I don't think we have ever had a former president's residence searched, particularly when his lawyers were complying with the subpoenas and everything. And you look at the security at Mar-a-Lago, where those documents were, and then you look at the security in Joe Biden's garage and old file boxes next to his Corvette, and the fact that Biden's garage was never raided.
And the thing is, Mary, it's not just the fact that they raided it, raiding it is... It's an unfortunate description, but accurate. It's one thing to go search somebody's house because you get a court order. The other thing is to go in with armed
SWAT teams.
SWAT teams, with fully armed with protective gear on, and ransack the house. That is what was, to me, was over the top. Not the fact that they even searched it. It's how they did it.
They did it for 9 hours. Yeah. 9 hours. Barron's room, Melania's room. A search warrant allows you to search where you reasonably expect the item you're looking for to be found. And I'd like to hear their elucidation of how they had probable cause to believe Dad's classified documents would be found in his son or his wife's room.
Well, then you go back to what has been said since, that it wasn't necessarily the classified part that bothered them. What they were looking for was all the documents related to what they had done with Russiagate, because they knew if he got elected and he had those documents and they were made public, which pretty much has happened, the Senate has asked the Justice Department to take a look at John Brennan now,
mm-hmm.
And James Comey also. But, I mean, they knew that they had done stuff wrong, and they were trying to expunge any record of it.
Now, when they did their search, and now I've heard, of course, they splayed all of the documents that they found out on the floor and took wonderful publicity photos of these pictures. Not evidence photos. These are publicity photos, because they took all the empty classified folders and had all of those empty classified folders showing.
Yeah, the cover sheets.
And so, again, these are not evidence photos. These are publicity photos.
And that's why I'm glad they're getting what they deserve. They're getting back what they did, and that's one of the things I like about Trump. You hit him, he's going to hit back. He's not going to cave and just go on his way.
But who pays this fine? We, the taxpayers, do.
Yeah.
Well, we spend a lot of money for stuff that I have a lot less support for than paying somebody like Trump, who went through all this aggravation and the money he had to expend for his attorneys. And I don't have a problem with it.
Well, I think they need to get to the root of it, find out who actually began this whole thing, and it needs to come, you know, let's kind of take part of their salary or something.
They've already determined that. It was Joe Biden and who was the DOJ, the Attorney General, Merrick Garland.
Merrick Garland.
Yeah, the two of them started it.
Yeah.
They've already revealed that.
Well, they should be the ones that pay, not the taxpayers.
Yeah, but
the taxpayers
would be nice, but they're
are the ones. Yeah, but the taxpayers are the ones that caused the damage
because we elected them. Okay.
They did it on our behalf.
Speaking about questionable activity and lawfare, look what they exposed about all of the senators that the committee that was investigating January 6th, they went and they started tapping the phones of all the 12 senators, Republican senators, and they went and tapped their phones. And I don't think they had a court order. I'm not sure about that.
No.
They didn't.
Nor could they have gotten a court order.
No.
Yeah, so this is...
And they were investigating a total of 92 Republican organizations. So they were trying to take down the entire Republican Party.
Absolutely.
But now the tapping, that sounds like you get to hear the whole recorded information that was told.
Yes.
But I understood that this was, they know who they talked to for how long, but they didn't get the audio on all that stuff.
Yeah, that was unclear from the article I read.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it was brought out. That.
But they had no business to even doing that.
Of course not. I'm not saying it's good, but it's...
It doesn't make it any better.
When I think of a wiretap, it's you get to hear what they're saying.
Well, I think they didn't do a wiretap. They did... they went to the cell phone companies.
Yeah.
And got their documents.
Yeah.
Yeah, just as to who connected and for how long.
Yeah, because they were easy to lean on. They were willing to give them the records.
Yeah, and or they would be investigated. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, when you get the opportunity, get out and vote.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers, and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mayor, you're going to take us in another direction
or the same direction? Recently, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner have been very involved in negotiating the peace in the Middle East with Gaza and Hamas and the whole thing. And they recently, within the past week or so, appeared on 60 Minutes, which I normally don't consider a reliable source, and I'm amazed they went on it, but the fact is that they did. And they were talking about the fact that when they were being briefed by the CIA in preparation for their peacekeeping mission, they found out as they got to the end of the mission and were talking to the Emir of Qatar and presidents of Turkey and Egypt that everything the CIA had told them was wrong. And my question is here, is the CIA supporting, it's supposed to be part of the American government, but it sounds like it's more part of the deep state.
Oh, it's been part of the deep state forever.
Yeah.
That's what Chuck Schumer meant when he criticized Trump during Trump's 1.0 when he said, you know, he said...
Don't take on the intelligence.
He said to be a smart businessman, he's not being very smart because the intelligence community has nine ways to from Sunday to get back at you.
And we've seen that. We have absolutely seen that.
Well, you know, that whole Gaza thing is obviously in the last day or two when Vice President Vance was over there, he was talking. Really, it was clear to me that they're trying to keep this thing together. They're trying to keep it from falling apart because Hamas has been doing things that people wouldn't do if they were wholeheartedly committed to the process, including going out and killing, what I understand, killing hundreds of people of their own Palestinians that they suspect were actually assisting in some ways or supporting the Israelis. So they just go executing people, and they showed videos of them having these people kneeling in the street shooting them in the back of the head. Well, that's exactly what we're dealing with. They're not less brutal. They're not less terrorist than they ever were. Some of them might be willing to go along with this peace deal, but apparently to expect much out of them is really a delusion.
Well, part of the problem, too, you had two IDF soldiers killed in a Hamas attack a couple of days ago. And what it showed is that Hamas is not an extremely organized, coherent organization. You have rogue elements within Hamas that may or may not stop fighting. And just the idea that, I mean, to me, the idea that Hamas is going to lay down their weapons is a joke. It would be nice. But I think it's going to come to the point where Israel's going to have no choice but just go in and wipe the whole place out.
So you're saying the violence has been localized, like Chicago or San Francisco. The violence has been localized back into Hamas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Where else was the violence?
Again, this is killing the friendlies, killing your neighbors or whatever else. I mean,
they had been doing that, Bob. They were seen shooting people, Gazans that were racing for the aid trucks.
Yes,
and they shot them.
And they were not letting anybody get aid. Yeah.
Right.
And like Mary's saying, that these people, that group, the Hamas, there's subsets of those that act independently, they don't have the kind of, you know, strict control over them.
Well, they don't have anybody to say no.
You might make a deal with what who you think the leadership is, but if they can't control the actual fighters down in the streets, it's not going to be much value. Then you take what Israel did, release 2,000 of these terrorists to make this deal. Who knows what they're going to wind up doing? And the history shows that a lot of these people that have been released, they come back and they become terrorists again.
Well, the chances of rehabbing a Hamas fighter are slim to none.
I've never heard of anybody that wanted to try.
Well, actually, the son of one of the leaders of Hamas, while he was in jail in Israel, became a Christian, went back to Hamas as a double agent for Israel. He has an amazing story, but he's the only one that I'm even vaguely aware of.
Is he still alive?
Yes. He's written books. He shows up on TV occasionally. He's an interesting person.
So what are the reasonings that CIA would give them wrong information? Would it be to embarrass the president? Would it be to cover their own rear ends? Would it be to just because they're lazy and didn't get good information? What are the reasons?
Possibly all of the above.
Don't know.
I mean, what is the quality of people that we currently have in our CIA? Might be a question.
How do we get their attention?
And it's not just the agents for the CIA, it's who their contacts are. The CIA relies on information from these contacts they develop mm-hmm. in these areas. And those people, you know, whether they're giving accurate information may be part of the problem, I don't know. But it certainly deserves investigating, find out why they weren't able to give accurate information.
Well, the CCTA a few months ago did a course, a Hillsdale College course, on the intelligence community. And one of the things that was mentioned during that course, under one of the presidents, and I honestly don't remember which one it was, they put down some kind of a rule that the CIA, when they were getting informants from other countries, that these had to be upstanding citizens. Well, a lot of the people who are willing to betray their countries are not necessarily upstanding citizens. And that put a real crimp in their information gathering.
That sounds like Jimmy Carter.
I don't remember who it was. But again, some of their informants had very shady backgrounds. And all of a sudden, they weren't supposed to be dealing with those informants.
Well, the thing is, you're out to get information about a shady organization. Who's going to know about the shady organization? But shady people have been part of that organization, and they're willing to sell them out. I mean, the idea that you could go in and find somebody like the mafia, you think, well, I'm going to get somebody from inside the mafia to reveal what's going on, and that person have a clean record and never have broken any laws or rules, that's totally naive.
But yes, we are. We are naive at times. Where do we want to go?
Let's talk about Ukraine for a moment, because it looks like Trump, for a while there last week, was talking about, after his telephone call with Vladimir Putin, right before he met with Zelensky, he came away from that telephone call kind of maybe optimistic again that maybe he could get something done.
By the way, Alan, we also have to understand how Zelensky came dressed to the White House. Apparently came in a suit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Maybe he's learned his lesson. Well,
and Trump commented on it, too.
Yeah. Got to give Trump what he wants. But anyway, but he had that conversation, and then they were supposed to send Witkoff and somebody else to meet with some of the Russians. I mean, apparently, maybe they did that. And then when they came back, Trump now says, I don't want to have a conversation with Putin because he's not convinced the meeting with Putin would go anywhere, because apparently he's just convinced that Putin doesn't want to stop the war, which is what I think a lot of people are realizing.
And Trump's not going to waste his time.
He's not going to waste his time, and Putin thinks he can keep pushing and winning. So,
well, some of the EU countries now have kind of changed their tune a little bit, and they want Ukraine to accept the current borders and just declare peace, just end the war. So I don't know how that's going to play out. I think they're getting tired of spending money and weapons and watching people get killed. I think everybody, with the possible exception of Putin, is ready to see this end.
Well, and unfortunately, you know, it takes two to tango. You got to have two people that want peace to get peace. And this business about the Tomahawk missiles is worrisome because, you know, and I'm glad that Trump at this point said he's not going to give them Tomahawk missiles.
But he needs to threaten.
Well, empty threats don't get you anywhere. And then if you make a threat and you don't go through, the next time you make a threat, they don't believe you.
Then you become
more vulnerable. But I think that when you start going with the Tomahawk missiles, that's a big escalation because you start hitting Moscow or you start hitting there. You know, I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but all I'm saying is that can really lead to more escalation, more.
That could get
out of hand. I mean, look at how wars start and how they get out of hand.
It has to be done with an end game in sight.
Well, once again, that's not up to us.
No, it's not.
I think what Trump ought to do is pull out all the restraints on any kind of economic sanctions that he can impose. I think that's where he needs to go. If there's anything left that he can do in that arena, I think that's where it needs to go, because I understand that the Russian economy is having problems, and so to keep the pressure in that area. I don't know what else that they
One of the changes that I'm aware of is India has agreed to not buy Russian oil.
Yeah. Yes.
And the world market on oil has dropped. The price per barrel has gone down, and that's what a country that's dependent on it like Russia is, when it drops from $85 down to 60 some odd dollars a barrel. He's taking in less revenue, even though he might be selling the same amount of gallons of this oil. He's not getting the revenue out of it.
And I think from our perspective, I think our output is getting better, our processed.
Crude oil prices today, WTI crude, is at 59.62.
There you go. That's really low compared to what it was a few years ago when Biden was president. And you can see it in the gas pumps. Like I saw the other day, it was downtown New Bern, it was like $2.59 a gallon.
Yesterday I paid $2.44.
There you go. So where about?
We'll keep it a secret. We'll get to that.
By the way, it's over near the Democrat headquarters.
It's moving in the right direction. Let's put it that way.
Does it smell like go gas?
It smells like go gas. Yes. But yeah, all of the effort that's being made to try to isolate Putin is happening, and unfortunately, winter's going to have quite an effect on what's going on there. But folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Wow, that's a lot of guns. East 70 Pond is absolutely loaded with inventory. The most ever. Yes, we've said that before, but it's true. Handguns, shotguns, and rifles continue to roll in daily, but they're coming in faster than they are going out. So Drew is doing the only thing he knows to do, have a sale. A serious sale on hundreds of guns. Currently, East 70 Pond has a nice selection of Browning shotguns and rifles. Whether you hunt upland birds or downeast ducks, Browning has the shotgun for you. Bolt action or semi-auto, nothing beats a Browning rifle for big game. Of course, East 70 has guns from nearly every type top manufacturer in stock. So take advantage of outrageous deals on existing stock, including a large selection of AR-style rifles, magazines, and a vast selection of ammo. East 70 Pond is Craven County's largest and most well-stocked gun shop. The staff is knowledgeable, friendly, and provides exceptional service. Hurry in today and save big. East 70 Pond, across from the fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're going to go to Rare Earth.
Yes. This came up about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, where China began putting severe restrictions on exporting the rare earth minerals that they process. And I say process deliberately because they do not have the rare earth minerals in China that they mine. They're actually doing the processing. For example, in the United States, we rank seventh in the world with the amount of rare earth minerals in our country. But we're only processing 12% of that what we have. The rest of it, we're shipping to China, and China is processing. Why are we shipping it to China, you might ask? Well, because of court cases, because of environmental wackos who come and who say, well, we don't want to process that. It's too toxic, or this or that and the other thing. And it's tied a lot of these efforts to develop these refining places, these factories, and are being held up in the courts. And it's a typical, you know, problem, and this is why a lot of manufacturers just go overseas. Well, I can't get the plant built in this country because there's so many restrictions, so they just ship it overseas, and they get it done. So I'm glad that Trump is taking that on, and he's going to have to confront China. You can't have a modern society without these materials.
Now, on Monday, President Trump and Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese signed a rare earth agreement. They outlined plans for both countries to invest more than $3 billion in critical minerals projects. So China has been working to corner the rare earth market for 20 years. I mean, they've been very deliberate, and unfortunately, they've been very successful.
Well, I think this is characteristic of our naivety, and I'm not talking about the people at this table, but I'm talking about our politicians, in not recognizing what China's doing, what they're all about. They're trying to corner, not trying, they have succeeded in cornering a lot of production of items that we need. For example, the medical supplies. Remember the issue we had with the masks during COVID? We couldn't get any masks. You had to get them from China. And there are certain elements that you must have in order to succeed as a society, and you can't allow those to go offshore.
Well, I think to your point, what China did was they made the capital investment for the equipment to do the processing. The processing is really a secondary effort, but they've made that upfront capital investment. We have not made that capital investment because we have learned from, based on Harvard you know, you're as the CEO of a company, you have to have a return within 1 or 2 years to get your bonuses or whatever else. Whereas we need to look down the road 10 years to say we've got to do the capital improvements. So 10 years from now, we'll be competitive.
And that's why, you know, China, and like you say, Bob, that's exactly what happened, because China uses its own government resources to fund these this manufacturing. It's not independent businessmen in China, and then they can do it at a rate that you can't compete with, or that we couldn't compete with, especially having to go through all the gyrations of all these restrictions and things that you have to set up these plants in this country. So we got to reduce these restrictions on our own manufacturing, or we're just going to continue to give in to these other countries.
Where else did we want to go?
I have a little article here about the mayor's race in New York City. Evidently, Mr. Mamdani had a meeting recently with Imam Siraj Wahaj, and I'm sorry if I mispronounce that. There's no way all those letters make sense to me. Now, he is a Muslim leader. He was also involved in the first attack of the World Trade Center in 1993. He's an unindicted co-conspirator. These are the people Mamdani is hanging out with. There's been a lot of pressure on Curtis Sliwa to drop out of the race so that Cuomo can win. I don't think Cuomo would be particularly better than Mamdani.
Let me interrupt you with a question. Does anybody really think that people who would vote for Sliwa would vote for Cuomo?
If they're against Mamdani. I mean, they could vote. They could maybe say, well, I won't vote for this guy because I want to stop this communist from taking over.
No,
they would just not vote.
Yeah.
They would just not vote.
I hate to be maybe difficult, we'll but see. If New Yorkers vote this guy in, they'll get what they deserve.
Unfortunately, it'll be on all of us, because once he drives them into bankruptcy, we'll get the bill.
Well, New York State will get the bill first. And at some point, they may actually wake up. I don't know. I mean, their governor is as bad as Mamdani
Hochul.
I don't have much hope for these. How long have these cities in, like, California, Los Angeles, and some of these other cities, they've voted Democrat after Democrat after Democrat, or Chicago, the cities continue to go down, but they don't change their voting pattern. They're Democrats for life, I guess, or they're liberals, or I think what goes on is that there's so many of these people in these cities that are getting money from the government. They're dependent on it. I mean, if you look at the number of people getting food assistance, rent assistance, now they come in and say, well, you won't have to pay for your subway fares. You won't have to pay for the bus fares. They get all this stuff for free.
Yep.
And that's part of the reason they want to keep that gravy train going.
And until they individually suffer, nothing's going to change. Want to change hats?
Yes.
Glenn, tell us about redistricting.
Well, I just picked up on the news where, of course, yesterday the Senate, this is North Carolina Senate, passed the new maps for District 1 and 3. And today,
this is U.S. Representative.
U.S. Representative, yes. Thank you. And today, the North Carolina House of Representatives passed it. So it's passed, and it isn't something that our Stein, our governor, has the ability to veto. That doesn't mean it's not going to get caught up in a bunch of court actions, but at this point, that's where it stands. I don't know if anyone else has an opinion about what that means specifically, but...
Well, Craven County, under this, Craven County changes districts.
Correct, yeah.
Craven
County.
To one. To one.
Yes. As does Carteret.
Yeah.
So the question is, what does Representative Murphy do, right? Because he could run... Now, he lives, you don't have to live in the district that you're representing.
Correct.
So even though he lives in Greenville, his residence in Greenville, he could actually switch to District 1, could he not?
He could.
Or he could, well, Greenville
is that Lenoir Green, County.
That's Greenville would stay in
Greenville, according to this map, Pitt County. Oh.
So I think he could exercise that option of going to District 1 or District 3, right?
Yep. I didn't look at the map. Is Pitt? That's where he's at now. Is it
okay?
Pitt,
that's
right?
That's District 3. That doesn't change.
So he doesn't. So he wouldn't change. He just wouldn't be our.
He wouldn't be our representative.
Yeah. Well, you say he wouldn't change. He has the choice. He might not. We don't know what he's going to do.
Well, that's true. I'm just saying, as it stands now,
he wouldn't be forced to change.
Now, our state representative.
It doesn't affect the state representative.
Doesn't affect the state. Okay.
But so what we would see now is that Craven, namely Newbern and Havelock, will have a greater influence on this very, very large district with very, very low population.
Because we're the population center?
We're one of the population centers.
Yeah, we will have more influence from a population standpoint in that district.
Well, you know, it is troubling the way this gerrymandering works. However, again, it's one of those issues. If the other side does it, then I guess you have to do it.
If you look at the map, the districts are very logically done.
I mean, complete counties. When we
lived in Massachusetts, our voting district looked like a seahorse.
Yeah.
I mean, because we were in a little Republican enclave, and they had to counter it by putting in a big city to dilute our votes. Massachusetts does not have any Republicans in Congress, despite the fact that it has Republicans in the state. They're not represented.
Well, the other thing, too, if you remember what happened in this last race when the guy who's the representative from District one now, Don Davis. The Democrats put up a candidate that split the vote
in the primary.
Yeah, that split the vote against that. There was a lady that was running, and she had a lot of following. I can't remember what her name was, but the Democrats funded another candidate to come in that drew some of the votes away from her, and that. I got this Don Davis win again because apparently he's.
Well, they've done
problems.
That before.
Yeah.
They've put up dark horse candidates to split the Republican vote before. One of the problems in North Carolina is that the primaries are not limited to the party. In other words, if you're unaffiliated, you can vote in whatever primary
it's
you want.
It's an open primary.
Yeah.
But if you're a Democrat, you have to vote in the Democrat. And if
correct.
You're a Republican, you have to. So the large number of unaffiliated in this states have a lot of influence when it comes to primaries, positive or negative.
And I don't have any problem with the unaffiliated, obviously, having a big say in the general election. But it doesn't make sense to me to have a party in which the people who select your candidates can be people that aren't in your party. That doesn't make
sense. The ones who represent your party.
To me, it's ridiculous. I mean, at least be able to put up the people that you want to put up that have your values and believe in the issues that you want to succeed on. At least you have a right to do that. Then see where it goes in the general. Don't you agree?
I totally agree. And up until now, even though sometimes it got out of third district, I think, that we wanted closed primaries, it never got any traction.
Yeah.
But it never got any traction in the legislative process.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Gets thrown in the pocket. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Shut down, shut down.
Schumer shut down.
It's continuing. I thought it would end as soon as we had the No King protest, but it's not ending yet.
Don't hold your breath.
What tickles me about it is Schumer and Hakeem are demanding that Trump negotiate with them, even though they've made it clear what their demands are.
And that they don't want to negotiate.
And they're not going to change. And so there's nothing to negotiate. So what they're really saying is we demand that you cave.
And this continuing resolution apparently has been voted on, 11 times?
11 times.
Before. And the fact that some health care things had a sunset back on
September. They sunset in December.
They sunset. They want those things brought back up, even though this is a legitimate sunset that they had voted for.
Yeah, the Democrats.
The Democrats had voted for.
They put it in the original legislation, and now they're wanting to use that or shut the government down to change what they initiated.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fact remains that the Democrats are not used to negotiating with Republicans who have spines. And usually it's, number one, they're losing the PR battle. It is the Schumer shutdown. The Mexican hats were cute for the first week.
They're still funny.
But they're not used to dealing with people who stand up for themselves. And the taxpayers don't want that money added back in. The taxpayers don't want to finance the gay parade in Africa. We don't want to fund that.
Well, the Democrats are confusing the issue because part of what they want is them to undo changes to Medicaid and Medicare that allow illegal aliens to get free health care. And that's separate and different from the subsidies that run out in December, mm-hmm. which are, in fact, for citizens. And so they're kind of conflating them, mm-hmm. and it confuses people. And according to Nancy, everybody gets their bill on November 1st to tell them what their new premiums are going to be. And there's a chance they're going to triple.
Well, Obamacare was never meant to be practical. It was meant to lead us towards single-payer health care. It was never meant to be affordable. And now the chickens are coming home to roost. They're Democrat chickens. Not one Republican voted for Obamacare. And there were some shenanigans involved preventing Scott Brown from being seated to vote against Obamacare.
Well, so don't forget Democrats, John McCain.
Well, that too. He voted against getting rid of it because he hated Trump so much.
Right.
And the other thing, too, if you look at what the Democrats are trying to accomplish, they're trying to use this shutdown to undo everything that the Republicans did with the big,
beautiful bill.
Beautiful bill. Mm-hmm. They want to put the funding back to NPR, their National Public Radio. They want to, like you said, Mary, put the funding in all these
NGOs.
That go overseas and so on. And Trump said that he'd be willing to talk to them, but only he had one condition. They had to open the government first. So.
Well, I can understand why they're fighting so hard, because the money, a lot of the money they want to put back is the USAID money, the NGO money. That is the corruption in Washington that funds campaign coffers and pockets. And they want their money back because the Democrat fundraising is not going well.
And the thing is, Mary, when you look at it from the standpoint of overall politics, Marxists, which the Democrats are moving more in that direction, they only stay in power by giving free stuff to people. And they gave this free stuff. Now, and unfortunately for them, I guess, they look at it and they put that little termination clause and it was going to automatically terminate. They can't afford to lose those people now. They have got to keep, but that's why these social programs, I don't know of any social program that's ever been put in place that ever terminated or ever got smaller. Everyone is growing, 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 getting bigger and bigger. More people are dependent on the government. And that's what how they stay in power. And that's how the Marxists, that was the plan right from the beginning.
I have a question. When this doesn't change and those bills go up one or two or three times more, who does that hurt?
People that are on the exchanges.
It hurts people who are getting something they didn't deserve to begin
but
with.
But politically, who does it hurt?
Well, it hurts the Democrats. I mean, that's they must see it that way.
Well, it depends because, and again, I've got this this paper, John Hood from the John Locke Foundation. He's a board member there. They did a High Point did a survey and said most Carolinians, North Carolinians, think our country is on the wrong track. Well, okay, it's on the wrong track, but who's the cause of that wrong track? I mean, the five items that they list are the first is a $1.8 trillion federal government borrowing. Okay. The second one was that there's a 38% is the share of the annual health care spending financed by federal dollars. 38% of our health care is financed by federal dollars. How do we continue to do that?
Well, it's just, it's income transfer. That's all we're talking about is taking from the people who are hardworking taxpayers and giving it to people that aren't working or aren't earning as much as somebody else is. And that's all out of the Marxist playbook.
Well, that's Margaret Thatcher who said socialism is a wonderful thing until you run out of other people's money. And that's what we're up against right now.
You know, one of the other items that they mentioned is 38% of the North Carolina eighth graders lack basic math skills. Pre-COVID, it was somewhere around 28 or 29%. Now, that's a growth of 10%. That's not necessarily a federal problem. That's not necessarily federal.
Must have been a weird poll because they mishmashed federal and state. It would have been clearer.
And moral, yeah.
It would have been clearer if they had done, what is it in the state that puts us on the wrong track?
And I was talking to someone recently who was involved in a mentorship program in one of our local schools who told me that the school was looking for people to help teach phonics and basic math. Now, that is a good sign that our schools are going back to the things that work.
Well, the Mississippi Miracle, if you've seen any of that, I mean, of course, that's at the governor, that's at the top of the government system down. They've gone
from number 48 to number 5 or something.
And the thing that's really, I think, good, because it's what a lot of people look at, is those folks that are in the underserved communities are actually gaining ground faster than the average of the population. So it just says that all you got to do is get back to the basics. We've been talking about that for 20 years, right?
When I lived in New Mexico, we used to say, thank God for Mississippi and Alabama. So that means we're not 50, we're 48.
Yeah.
Now Mississippi is in the top 5.
Yeah.
Because the changes they have made.
This was a while back.
Teaching their kids basics.
You know, the survey also, again, this as you said, Pat, the survey, the fourth item is that the average number of children born per American woman is going to be 1.6. Now, how's that a federal problem? How does that become? That becomes a moral problem.
Well, it's a federal problem to the extent that the population of workers can't maintain enough income to support the older population. They have the same problem in Japan.
Well, the question is, what do you do about it? Can't force women to have more children.
You have to force them. A couple things you can do about it. One is you try to encourage, like Charlie Kirk was doing. If you look at his videos, I think it's a great example. He's had a positive. But his organization's not dead. They're continuing. In fact, they've expanded in terms of number of chapters. And one of his themes was to encourage young women in college age to put family first over careers. Mm-hmm. And he had a religious basis for it, but he encouraged that. And that's, you need to turn the culture around. We've been influenced by the feminist movement and all these other things, a lot of which goes back to the Marxists. You go back to the 1800s, the Marxists said women should be independent of the family.
The nuclear family has to be brought
back.
Well,
they're trying to reset the sequence. Get your education, then get married, then have children. Right now, everything is upside down and backwards because...
And the basic thing, what's more important, family or career? And I think there's a lot of evidence that women who don't have children, women who depend on a career for their happiness, are less happy. That's what the polls show that consistently, that they have more issues with depression, anxiety, then less content and happy in their lives if they're overly committed to their career. And they sacrifice their family and marriage and not having children. So that's the message I think we have to get out. The other thing is Trump was talking about is increasing the tax deductions and credits for having children. That would help economically. So there's some things you can do economically, but like you say, Glenn, it's an issue, cultural issue of what's important, family or careers.
And it's to not take the bait on all the sky is falling stuff environmentally and all that, our kids are not going to have a future even if we have some.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the craziness that's just not accurate.
Yeah, it's totally inaccurate.
One of the other items was the 35% is the number of children living in single-parent households.
And that's driven totally by mostly federal policy probably, but state and federal, where you get more handouts if you're a single parent.
Yes, because if you have a man in the house, this was traditionally, if you have a breadwinning man in the house, you wouldn't get as much as if you didn't have a husband. If you had a husband, and again, that's these policies that create a lot of the problem too.
Did anybody see the videos? I saw these this morning of people that were saying, if we don't get our food stamps, we're going into Walmart and we're filling up our cart and we're walking out and don't even try to stop us, because if you don't give us our food stamps, we're stealing our food.
Well, that's how you make people dependent. If they're totally dependent. If I, let's say, for example, you have a family and you have four kids, and you're dependent on the government, and then all of a sudden that money stops. You got to feed your kids somehow. I mean, I don't agree with that. What they're going to do, obviously, but you can see where the dependency leads you. It leads people dependent on revenue from the government instead of on themselves. They should be dependent on themselves.
What else do we have to discuss?
Go vote.
Go vote.
Yes, if you live in the city of New Bern, this is early voting is happening now. The date of the election is
November 4th.
Tuesday.
The election is a runoff for mayor and for Ward 4. This will determine the future of the city.
I do also want to mention that we did make an invitation to Holly Rabbi to come be on the show this week. For some reason, he's not able to make it. And I know he's a very, very busy individual. Just wanted to let you know that
and
we did
next
make
week,
it. Wait a minute. He's not able to make it? He didn't confirm. He didn't even respond.
Well, when I made the offer, He said he would try.
We talked to him last night.
We talked to him Monday night.
No, but that's different than he's unable to make it.
Well, I would say he has a standing Bible study on Wednesday night, and he wants to stay with that.
We do have Jeff Odom on next week's show.
Okay. Folks, again, thank you for listening. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.